This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 5. 30 minutes later, the Man Mountain returned with a tray that seemed small in his hands and then suddenly enormous when plonked in his own lap as he sat quite still on the bed. "Thank you. But I need..." The giant cut him off.
"You'll be leaving in 20 minutes.
He bent down and retrieved a pile of clothes from the floor outside the room and tossed them on the bed beside him.
"Be ready."
He turned to leave and then looked back again.
"Do you need anything else?"
His voice had mellowed, his face softened. But still the sense of menace filled the room. I need the toilet.
"Under the bed,"
he said, with something that could have been a smile or a scowl. The door closed, locked, and then the house shook as boots as big as boats pounded down the stairs. Just to make sure he was not imagining it, the boy plunked his tray on the floor and tried the door once more. Sure enough, it was locked. He then peeked under the bed and with a look of utter dismay, retrieved a white and chipped metal pot that was obviously his toilet. He looked at his tray and then the pot and groaned. He had no choice. He forced himself to use the horrible thing after isolating his meal in a vacant shelf in an old wardrobe, shutting the door and moving to the far end of the room to do his business. Swapping the meal for the foul pot, he quarantined the object in the wardrobe, retook his position on the bed, and gave in to his hunger. The meal was not grand, but it was delicious and plentiful. Mashed potatoes, beef, herbs and spices all lumped together in a ball of mush may not have been his perfect choice in some previous life, but since he had no idea what that might have been, he was overtaken by the need for fuel and shoveled the heap contents into his mouth. Lifting the plate close to his lips, the boy spooned the contents with animal haste into his body. A mug of sweet tea had cooled by the time he was ready for it, and a sudden thirst overtook him halfway through the meal, so that he gulped the liquid down in a few seconds. Once finished, he lay back on the bed, unable to move, thinking about his predicament. The man had told him he was leaving, said he was to get ready. What was he going to do? Throw him out? Perhaps they were close to a village. That had to be it. He had walked a long way, or at least it seemed like it. Suddenly excited, he grabbed the bundle and put on what had been his old clothes. They were torn and poorly washed, but no longer smelled of dead sheep. An attempt had been made at sewing his fleecy top with white thread over dark fabric. Not very fashionable, but dry, and for that he was thankful. His curiosity about his strange rescuers was quickly overcome by the need to leave the prison. This surely was. The door opened as he finished lacing his trainer. He was about to jump to his feet when he remembered his ankle. He pulled his sock down and searched for the bruise, but there was none. He looked at the man and ignored his unspoken command to move. "How long have I been here?" he asked.
2 days. "We need to move. There's a storm coming."
2 days. His ankle had healed completely in such a short time. He was sure it must have been longer, but why would the man lie? There was no bruise, no swelling. And when he stood, there was no pain. He shrugged his shoulders and followed the retreating figure downstairs towards a blustery and unbelievably wet day. There was so much he wanted to ask him. Where were they? What was the man's name? The girl's? But as he caught up with them on the doorstep, a waterproof jacket flew at him, wrapping itself around his head so that he nearly tripped in blind confusion over a scraggy piece of carpet.
Put on!
Stepping into the open, the boy wrapped himself in the yellow-red jacket, which fitted perfectly. He zipped it to his chin, his hair already dripping water, his trousers soaked all the way down the left-hand side in a line that matched the direction of the wind. By the time he pulled the hood over his head, the man was hauling a small boat mounted on a rusting frame on wheels down a concrete ramp into the sea. Seeing him struggle, the boy ran to help, but the boat was already there, the rolling surf floating and then grounding the thing in waves of easy violence. Without saying a word, an orange life vest was pushed at him and he obediently put it on.
Jump in,
the man ordered and stilled the bucking boat as best he could in the deepening sea. Wading to his calves, water flooded his trainers and froze his lower limbs. He grabbed the edge and timed his jump to the rhythm of the lurch, tumbling head first into the fish-stinking slime at the bottom of the boat. The man followed with surprising grace. He took an oar and pushed down on the seabed until they were deep enough for the outboard motor to take over. Pulling the toggle, the engine started first time, and a second later, they headed out to sea. DreamWorks.com.